Loser takes all, the victory of Christ. Nobody likes a loser. There is hardly anything worse we can say of a person today than he or she is a loser, a real loser. We want winners. We worship winners. We want to be winners, often at any cost. Yet by our standards, Jesus was a loser. The prophet of God saw it coming long ago. He grew up before him like a plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and was one from whom men hid their faces, as he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53:2-3. What the prophet saw came to pass in Jesus. In our eyes, he was a loser, a real loser. We don't like to have this said about Jesus. We like to think of him as a stunning attraction, a glowing, handsome, exemplary, winsome winner, one who fits perfectly with our winner-takes-all outlook on life. We try by all sorts of trickery, religious and otherwise, to twist the story of Jesus and his cross so it will fit into our winner's circle. Splinters from the cross will cure our diseases. The uncrucified Jesus will be our leader and example. The cross is painted on our battle flags or carried on crusades. Jesus is portrayed for all the world like a pro football player emerging radiant and glistening from the shower after the big win. He can even be our substitute winner, so we can relax and equate piety with sloppiness. Everyone wants a winner. But it is all false. Jesus cannot be made over by us into a winner. By our standards, he was a loser. We have to face it. I suppose it seems strange to begin an article on the victory of Christ like this, insisting that Jesus was a loser. But we have to see that, I think, in order really to get the point. The victory of Christ, the triumph of Easter, is a note that is often lacking in our teaching, our preaching, and our piety. This is because we tend to think that there was nothing really vital at stake, either for him or for us. We think of him as a kind of supreme, unruffled, orthodox theologian or plaster saint who could not possibly lose anything or whose victory is consequently no real surprise. He is merely the illustration of an eternal truth. Wanting a winner. We seem to prefer ideas and images that are more neutral, not to say calculating and frozen, in talking about him. He is the supreme example of morality. What an icy thing to say about anyone. Or he is the one who somehow transacts business with God behind the scenes and pays the debt we owe, as though heaven were some big credit union in the sky. And since we think of him in this fashion, we do not necessarily entertain the thought that he could actually be a loser. We want a winner. We want a sure thing. So we tend to miss the real nature of the victory. Easter is a once-a-year curiosity we may enjoy when it comes around, but is soon forgotten, and about which we have little to say. This is why we have to face seriously the fact that Jesus was first of all a loser. Of course, we do not like it. But the point is that he, this loser, this Jesus whom you crucified, is the one whom God raised from the dead, precisely in the face of our dislikes. It is God who ultimately accomplishes the victory by raising Jesus from the dead. God audaciously turns the tables on us, raising up this one whom we judge to be a loser. In this strange fact lies hidden the mystery of Easter, the victory of Christ. What is the nature of this victory? Whom or what does he defeat? Usually we say it was a victory over the enemies. sin, death, and the devil. And this is true. But what does this mean? How does this affect us? Sin, death, and devil still seem to abound. How can we say they have been defeated? Here we get to the really sticky point. The victory of Christ is the victory of a loser in a world of would-be winners. We came into this world where we were all bent on winning at all costs. We have gone the route of the first Adam, listening to the voice of the tempter. You shall not die. You shall be as gods. You shall be a winner. So we fight and kick and scramble to get to the top, no matter whom we hurt or what we exploit to get there. But sin, death, and the devil are not just out there somewhere. They are operative through us. Into this situation, Jesus comes and goes the way of what we think is a loser. He refuses steadfastly to go the way of the first Adam, to try to be a god. He goes the other way. He decides to be a human being. He sticks to it to the end. He became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2:8. This is his victory. The resurrection alone is not simply the victory. If so, it would mean he was our type of winner after all, that he snatched victory from defeat at the last minute, like some of our championship teams, in spite of playing a bad game. No, it was precisely by losing in a world of winners that victory becomes possible. For God shocks everyone by raising this loser from the dead. God vindicates his cause by making this Jesus to be Lord and Christ. A glimpse of greatness. Perhaps now we can begin to catch a glimpse of the greatness of this victory. In a world of destructive, compulsive winners, quote unquote, how else could he be victorious except by losing? How else could he get through to us? Over us and for us, he finally has the victorious to put to death the old Adam, the winner at all costs, so that we could be made new, be made human beings again. He might have staged a different sort of show. He might have muscled his way to victory by some means more to our liking, but then he would never really have been able to change us. The power play, the hurt, the sin, the death, would go on forever and ever. But now there is something else. There is the victory of this loser. To be sure, sin, death, and the devil are still around. Yet, they have been defeated. God has raised Jesus from the dead. In the end, this loser takes all. The victory has been won.
Heaven, I don't care where he goes.